We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You'll listen to Reception, Perception of the Show. We were talking backstage here, Matt, that it feels like I have not seen you in ages, dude. I mean, when we start doing a podcast twice a week, bro, like, then we go, you know, I think we did one podcast in 3 weeks or something like that. It's crazy.
It is weird, but you know what? It's good to be back. It's good to be back in full force. And yeah, man, I'm excited. You know, vacation was fantastic. I think I said this the last time we spoke that I feel like I just want to disappear every June now for like a month. It was great. It was really refreshing. All parts of the trip were fantastic. At the same time, though, I am coming back more motivated and more excited about work than ever, dude. Already dropped a bunch of year four profiles on the site. We've got more coming this week. Zay Flowers, Puka Nacua, Jordan Addison, Trey Tucker in the works. Hopefully have all those up by Friday, but already a bunch of guys on the site and a bunch of work. Been done, new mailbag video up on YouTube. So I do feel like I'm still getting used to talking again in a professional setting. It is weird. You mentioned like we do two podcasts a week. I also do however many podcasts, you know, 100 for Yahoo during the week as well. And I get back on the mic. I'm like, oh, right. How do I do this again?
Oh, man. I love the fact that you are back on your grind. And speaking of some of these profiles, man, we're going to talk about three of them today. Quentin Johnston, Josh Downs, JSN. Oh, but before we start, let me apologize to the podcast listeners. Again, we normally come out two episodes a week. We obviously missed an episode this week because I had got back from my convention. And, dude, my voice was just shot. I mean, it was ripped to shreds. There was many adult beverages consumed. A lot of karaoke songs were sang, and my voice was just not was not in the right spot, man. So, anyways, I do apologize for that. But we're back. We're back, baby. Yeah. We're here.
I'm probably the only person listening, speaking, you know, whatever, who's been with Co for some karaoke in their lifetime. Maybe a couple of the listeners. Correct. I don't know. But yeah, he gets down on the karaoke, so he lets it belt. So I very much understand why you had to miss the show.
Good. All right. Well, perfect. It is in my genetics to be as a Korean American. It's in my genetics to sing some songs here. But anyways, let's get to QJ here. You and I have been in a little bit of a disagreement in regards to Quentin Johnston. I read the profile. You know, again, I am impressed with his improvements overall. We're talking about a guy that posted nearly a 61% success rate versus man, so still very much below average, but got back to about league average or good markings here at 79.5% against zone. So that's a good number. 58.6% success rate versus press coverage. Again, still a below average number, but overall, Matt, this is a guy who has improved dramatically going from 2024 to 2025.
Yeah, I'm sure it was like now over a month ago that you and I, when we were talking about Ladd McConkey, I think I made the point to you that I do think that we, and at the time I meant you, but you know, it's not just you. It's not just you. I do feel like the royal we, the general NFL audience, I think still holds Quentin Johnston's rookie season kind of too much against him. And by the way, I don't think that is exclusive to just Quentin Johnston. I mentioned that I just working on it'll be published by the time this episode comes out. Zay Flowers's profile. He's another guy that I feel like still kind of gets typecasted in the ways that he did as a rookie in some of these, like, anyway, so totally separate conversation. But for Quentin Johnston, I think it's very apparent because like his rookie season in Reception Perception was a disaster. It was horrible.
One of the worst.
It's flat out one of the worst that we've ever seen in Reception Perception history. And, you know, I mean, I remember at the time people put, well, it's not like he had like no production. I think he had like 500 something yards his rookie season. I mean, dude, you run like every single route from a drop back standpoint with a quarterback like Justin Herbert, you're going to fall ass backwards into some production. And QJ,
which is which is exactly what he did. He fell ass backwards.
As a rookie.
As a rookie.
As a rookie. So, and again, just to level set, if you weren't listening to us or following Reception Perception back in the day, Johnston was just, again, just a really poor performer, like first percentile type stuff against man coverage specifically, not much better against zone coverage. Like it was a really, really poor rookie season. As James said, one of the worst in RP history, but he has definitely gotten better. You know, he's not gone, you know, full Davante Adams, right? He's the best example of a player that was one of the worst starting receivers in the NFL as a rookie, right, in his second season and everything. He had a really disastrous second season, especially. Went from like a first percentile performer to a 99th percentile performer. As I've said many, many times, I don't think that we're going to see that happen ever again. I don't think that's going to be like that's a dream outcome. It's a fantasy, yep, outcome. You should probably just let go of it. But we have seen some guys go from bottom percentile performers into what I would say are like acceptable or even maybe solid starters. And I think Quentin Johnston is still a flawed player, and we can lay out some of the flaws here in this profile, but I do think there are specific areas where he is legitimately good and is more of like a guy that is, I think, more than an acceptable starter at this point, if maybe just not that kind of like, yes, solid starting receiver.
We talk about some of these overall general scores here, right? Like he goes from 52% against man to nearly 61% success rate versus man. He goes from 75% success rate versus zone to nearly 80% versus zone. He goes from 53% success rate against press to nearly 59% against press going from year to year. And if you're new to these numbers, those kind of jumps are hard. Mm-hmm. Those are difficult to do. And so kudos to him for obviously working on his craft, and kudos to the coaching staff for, I think, getting him in much better positions to succeed as well. If we're going on a route by route basis here, Matt, he was really strong on dig routes, 75% mm-hmm. success rate on the dig, 64% on the year prior. So a more than a 10% jump, in terms of success rate on the dig route. That to me was his strongest route. And obviously his most usable route, I think, in terms of just getting him in a position to succeed.
Right. And if, again, we're kind of dialing back to that rookie season just to talk about some of the improvements here. I mean, you go look at that route tree from 2023, at Bad Boy's all red except the screen. Yeah, I mean, right, you know, it's a first percentile success rate versus man, first percentile success rate versus zone. So obviously he's made a lot of improvements since then, specifically on some of the routes you're laying out here, like these what I would call breaking routes. Post, dig, out, slant, solid success rate, flat route, 100% success rate on a small sample. So really some of those more breaking routes, which, by the way, it's still not really like the heaviest diet of his route tree. And I think that's an important point to talk about here. Like he's never been an above average performer on the nine route in his NFL career. And while he ran fewer nine routes last year, it was still at 18% nine route rate. Like he's still kind of used as a vertical X receiver. And I personally would like to see QJ moved more to like a Z receiver position. You know, there's part of me that thinks like if he was used in the way that Rashee Rice is used by the Kansas City Chiefs, I think he'd actually really cook in that role. And I actually wrote that in his second year profile for Quentin Johnston. I think he'd be really good in that role. There's some differences in their games, but I also think there's a lot of similarities. If you look at Quentin Johnston and Rashee Rice and Reception Perception, and I know that would sound crazy if you looked at like their production, especially on like an efficiency basis per route and everything. But you got to also note that Quentin Johnston, again, still in year three, was not used as a flanker at all. He was on the line of scrimmage for 80.6% of his sample snaps. He lined up outside on 83.5%. So he was still pretty close to like an exclusive X receiver. And my guess is that he will be used in that capacity once again by Mike McDaniel. I don't think that we will see, like, I think Trey Harris maybe could come in and be an X in 11 personnel mm-hmm. and move QJ around. But I think it's going to be, and we've talked about this with Ladd McConkey, it's going to be a very heavy personnel based offense. They signed David Njoku. They signed Charlie right. Kolar. They have Aronde right. Gadsden. They signed a fullback. We've gone on and on about the Chargers likely increase in heavy personnel. So my guess is that in two receiver sets, it'll look pretty similar to how the Dolphins used Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. And Tyreek Hill was like the move around guy. And I think Ladd McConkey is going to be the move around guy. There's really no reason that he, at his size, needs to be an X receiver, even though he's a good press coverage receiver. And that will leave Quentin Johnston to kind of be in the role that Jaylen Waddle, who has been, as we've discussed with Waddle many times over the years, people don't realize he's mostly been an outside on ball receiver. And I think Quentin Johnston will be the outside on ball receiver. But so the pre-snap deployment won't change very much. But where I do think we will see a significant change potentially for our guy Quentin Johnston here, I think his route tree is going to look really different this year. Like the way that his routes will unfurl from like a usage standpoint. Because if you look at Quentin Johnston's route percentage chart from 2025, and then you look at Jaylen Waddle's route percentage chart from 2025, they're very different. And we talked about the routes where Quentin Johnston is strongest, the routes where he is weakest from a relative standpoint, the nine route, we just talked about that, the curl route and the comeback route, which are pretty much like straight line X receiver routes, where if you're going to run those routes, you got to be really good technically. You got to be a good route runner. And I still think Quentin Johnson's not a good technical route runner at this point. I don't know if he ever will be. But if you look at Jaylen Waddle's route percentage chart, the only three routes where he was below the NFL average, curl, nine, comeback. Like the routes he runs a lot are slants, outs, digs, flats. Those are the routes where QJ actually is good. Like, so I think his route diet will change in Mike McDaniel's offense. And I think that will actually potentially improve his overall success rates as he goes into year number four.
Yeah. You talk about that slant route. He's been strong for on the slant for a number of years now, 83% success rate on the slant in 2024 and a slight dip here in 2025, but I think still pretty good at 77.6%. And I think when you go back collegiately, I thought the slant route was really where he made a lot of his hay, only because when you get this guy going horizontally and away from defenders and not having to think about, you know, tracking the football, that's really where he was at his strongest, right? Going back to when you compare some of these 2024 numbers to 2025, you talk about how he improved dramatically. At least we talked about the dig route, but as Matt mentioned, the post route, I mean, goodness gracious. And look, the sample size is a lot smaller. He didn't run a ton of post routes, but still going from 54% success rate on the post, which is a horrible number, to then posting a 77% success rate on the post in 2025, a really good number. I think that just speaks to, and it speaks very loudly to the improvements that Quentin Johnston has used to kind of sort of use his, you know, outbreak or inbreaking techniques and try to get open as an inbreaker. So I don't know, man. Look, I'm still very much not in on the QJ business. But that being said, there's no question. There is no question he has improved as a player, and your profiles, I think, have shown that perfectly.
Yeah, and I think again, it's what is being in on the Quentin Johnston business. I get that's like kind of a relative term, and like what are the expectations there? I will just say from a fantasy standpoint, if we're like setting up expectations right now, consensus ADP wise on Fantasy Pros is the wide receiver 41 in half PPR scoring. So it's not like people are expecting him to come in here and be, you know, a stud this year or anything like that. Right. But I think he could outkick that. Like, I think he could produce better than those numbers, mostly because of his own individual improvement, but also the offensive environment, which I think suits his skills well with all the breaking routes and yards after catch stuff. Like, we got to remember with Quentin Johnston, last year was really the first year that he wasn't like consistently haunted by drops and everything. Actually, his drop rate was pretty low last year. He had like an average-ish contested catch rate. I think he will always struggle a little bit in that way, which I haven't said this on this particular show, but I have said this over the years that I think Quentin Johnston was really set up to fail in his rookie year. Like, as we're talking about his rookie year being so bad, I think he also was put in a horrendous position. Like, I have no idea. I have no idea what the Chargers thought they were scouting in Quentin Johnston, and then what he was. I think if we're being generous to the Chargers at that point, they were like, well, we can develop him slowly because we have Mike Williams as an X receiver. It's like, well, Mike Williams gets hurt all the time. And guess what? He got hurt like in four games into that rookie season. So QJ had to be a vertical X receiver and track the football over his shoulder, which he's never been good at. But what he was good at in college was some of the breaking routes and yards after catch, which I think is where Mike McDaniel will kind of let him be used. And if I could make like a comparison to like a like an outcome standpoint for him, and this came to me, I was just thinking about like what could type of year could Quentin Johnson have? Do you remember with the Titans in 2020, Corey Davis, who looked very similar to QJ, I think was a disappointing first round pick, but turned into like a solid starting receiver for a stretch. He wasn't completely worthless. He just wasn't worth the fifth overall pick. And I think Quentin Johnston probably is still a disappointing first round pick, but is not no longer be discussed as some kind of like worthless player. And frankly, I said that going into last year for him. But again, Corey Davis that year, him and AJ Brown were both top five in the NFL in yards per route run that season. And AJ Brown was obviously higher. Corey Davis was right behind him. And Corey Davis, I think, had like 10.7 yards per target that year. He made a lot of efficient plays on lower volume for the Titans that year because the Titans were 31st in 11 personnel rate with 39.3% in 2020, which I think is kind of what this Chargers team is going to look like with all the fullback mm-hmm. and the tight ends and everything. So, yeah, I mean, I do think that's kind of a similar season that QJ could have, like 900-ish yards, a good amount of touchdowns, kind of living off big plays. He probably always will be like a volatile player. That was the arc when we discussed him as a prospect. That was the archetype of prospect he belonged in, like the volatile boundary big play receiver. I kind of think that's always who he's going to be as long as he's used in this X receiver role. But yeah, that's sort of a career outcome kind of standpoint for Quentin Johnson, that 2020 Corey Davis season. And by the way, shout out to our player comparison tool, one of the player comps that shows up for Quentin Johnson, even before I knew this, by the way. Yeah. It shows up as Corey Davis is one of the comparable players. So I do think that's kind of an outcome for him that could happen here.
And that was Corey Davis's best season, right? Like he had a couple of 700-yard seasons, and you know he did have a 900-yard season there too. But 984 for Corey Davis in that season just trailed A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown had 1,075, so less than 100 yards separated A.J. Brown and Corey Davis that year. And that was on 65 receptions, so they didn't throw the ball a lot, as you mentioned. Derrick Henry was obviously on that squad. That was his 2,000-yard rushing season. He had 17 touchdowns in that legendary 2020 season. Crazy stuff, man. Like, it's crazy to think about Derrick Henry in 2020 dropping 2K and still playing in 2026.
Dude, what a beast.
And still playing at a high level.
What a beast, man. What a stud. Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Absolutely insane. Third in receiving on that team, Jonnu Smith. Anthony Firkser was fourth. I love it.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Throw this ball.
The Chargers definitely have a lot more theoretical talent at the receiver position than that Titans team did behind their top two guys, right? Like, I think it's worth saying, like, maybe, you know, Brennan Thompson, the rookie that they just drafted, who's a speed-based player, Trey Harris, who I thought had like an okay-ish rookie season. He's more of a developmental guy. And obviously Ladd McConkey obviously he's like the AJ Brown in this scenario, like the number one, the really, really talented player. So maybe QJ could end up rotating off and on the field a little bit. Shoot, maybe Ladd rotates more than we're thinking because they have some of these kind of, they have some talented younger players. I think that's at least worth thinking about if you're, as I want to be, like a Ladd McConkey bull this year. And even Keandre Lambert-Smith, I don't know if he makes the roster, but I think he's got some talent to him as well, in addition to all these tight ends and everything. So I don't know that it's going to look quite like that 2020 Titans team, but I think that's within the range of outcomes where it's pretty much just the two receivers. That's it. The other guys rotate. I mean, Khalif Raymond, I believe, was on that 2020 Titans team.
Yeah, he was.
Brennan Thompson could be the Khalif Raymond, you know, the sacrificial vertical player at times who runs coverage off and everything. I think that's possible. But yeah, overall, I do think Quentin Johnson probably set up to have a really nice season after he had a really nice season last year, over 50 yards per game. So it's just about expectations. And yes, we're moving the goalposts on a former first round pick. That's pretty okay, because after his rookie season, we moved the goalposts way over here in the negative zone. I think it's probably time to move that goalpost a little bit more to adequate, like perfectly capable starting receiver.
All right, let's talk about Josh Downs. Again, if you're listening to the show, you like Josh Downs because our guy Matt Harmon loves Josh Downs. And, you know, his profile did not disappoint. 75% success rate versus man, incredibly strong number. 81% against zone, incredibly strong number. 82% success rate versus press. That's such an impressive number. Mm-hmm. And this guy was absolutely unstoppable on inbreakers. We'll jump into some of those numbers, dive deeper into those numbers, but just from like a 30,000 feet in the air point of view here, Josh Downs, I think the question really becomes, okay, Michael Pittman is now gone. They're expected to lean on Josh Downs quite a bit. Alec Pierce is coming off of an ankle surgery.
Yeah.
It really comes down to, okay, can Josh Downs be an every down player? Do you believe in him in that role?
That is obviously the biggest question with Josh Downs this year, because like the talent shouldn't be in question. The opportunity is clearly there. I just think he needs a chance. Like, I think he needs a chance to be that guy. And I think if he's given a chance, I don't really see a reason why he, like a reception perception reason. I don't see like a reason why we shouldn't feel like he could be a flanker in two receiver sets. Okay. Yeah. And like an every down player. Now, some of the negatives would be if he is still truly 5'9, 171 pounds, that is pretty light. Like, can he block in the run game? Right. That's obviously something to ask there. I have made it known that I think he might be a little bit bigger, right? We've seen the quad videos for Josh Downs from OTAs. We've seen the quads. I mean, yeah, he's talked about bulking up to play more, which I think is worthwhile. Like, maybe he's a little bit slower if he's bigger. Who cares? Right. He's still going to be very quick twitch and an explosive route runner. The other question with him, obviously, is just can he stay healthy with more snaps? Because that has been a theme here over the, I think that each of the last two seasons, we get these reports from training camp like, oh, Josh Downs is having a great camp, he's been awesome. And then he gets hurt like right before week one. Right. And he ends up starting slow basically every year because of that before getting really ramped up. So that's just the question for Josh Downs. Like, can he be a full-time player? He played a career low 55.1% of the snaps, and he only ran a route on 63% of the dropbacks last year. And obviously there were some injuries there, but nevertheless, there's been injuries every year, and he still ended up playing a career low amount of snaps. There just, to me, is like, there's no way that can happen this year, right? Like, if you just look at the depth chart,
yeah,
because Michael Pittman is gone. They traded A.D. Mitchell in the beginning of last season, and their current receiver depth chart, like the guys it's Nick Westbrook Akine and Deion Burks, like my good pal Deion Burks in the seventh round. Like, that's it. That's what they added this year. Maybe they can add a Keenan Allen type who has familiarity with a Shane Steichen, obviously from their days in LA. That could certainly happen. You know, Philip Rivers is still like tangentially connected to the Colts, who played there last year. Obviously he knows Keenan Allen. I don't know. So it's definitely possible that Keenan Allen signs and Josh Downs gets kind of Ladd McConkey'd from last year, but we'll see what happens on that note. So right now, given the depth chart, I mean, I think Josh Downs has to play more, and I think he's perfectly capable of absolutely playing more.
I think when they look at the size for Josh Downs and they look at the quick twitch, they say, oh man, this guy is perfect for the slot. And that's probably true. He played about 70% of his snaps last year as a slot player. But that being said, did play 30% of his snaps lined up outside. I guess I'll ask you. So again, as part of the critical part of what he can do as a player has to be, okay, he can line up outside. That being said, when you look at some of his routes. Yeah. I mean, these inbreakers are, like I said, unstoppable. 84% success rate versus the slant, 86% success rate on curls, 78% on digs, 80% on posts. So he's got, again, true three level versatility here, but can he do it lined up as an outside player? I think that's probably the biggest question in regards to Josh Downs, because that's what he's going to have to do. Again, if he's going to be on the football field, pretty much every down.
Yeah, of course, that's obviously an unknown. We know that Josh Downs is good against man coverage. Like, we've seen that over the course of his charting profile, both as a prospect and then dating into the NFL. I would even say, like, I don't know that Josh Downs was his best self all of last season either. Like, I mean, his 75.3% success rate versus man is definitely lower than some of the other seasons we've seen. His success rate versus zone quite dropped off quite a bit to 81.4%, which is still perfectly is really good, but he was at 86% in 2024. Like, I think actually 2024 Josh Downs is better than 2025 Josh Downs, mostly probably because of the injuries and everything. That's the key here, is like, he has to be 100% healthy. Is he going to be able to stay 100% healthy? That's the question. But I mean, you talk about some of the routes that he runs really well. Like, those are all the routes that Michael Pittman was cooking on. If you look at his like best seasons as the Colts Z receiver, it's a lot of curls, slants, quick outs, the in breakers at all three levels. I really don't see why Downs can't operate in the same areas. Now, they're different players because Michael Pittman is actually really underrated for how big he is. He actually looks more like and is listed size wise as more of like an X receiver type, but he's never played X throughout most of his career because he's been the Z receiver. So I just feel like Downs, from a receiving standpoint, can do those things well. And honestly, beyond route running, Downs was once again really good in contested catch areas. Not a lot of contested catch opportunities this year, but still posted a good rate, caught 4 of 5 contested targets. And he's been a good contested catch receiver every single year in the NFL. He's cleared 70% in every season in the NFL. And he was the best contested catch ball winner in 2023, the draft class that he came into here. So yeah, I think Downs has the skills to be that guy. That's really just a question. Can he do it? Will he be able, will he be given the chance to do it? If you look at the player comp tool, the top three comps for him, top four comps, which are all strong comps, where there's four levels to the comp tool. There's elite, strong, moderate, and loose. His four strong comps: Travis Hunter, Jalen Knoll, Jaden Reed. So it's all like slot, slot, slot. But the fourth one is Tyler Lockett, and that's the player that I think I compared him. Like, I mentioned him in the prospect write-up. That's the comp I want to hold to the most here.
Yeah,
because Lockett was a guy that was a smaller player, obviously had injury questions too, smaller player, but showed he could beat press man coverage, showed he could win at all three levels. And I just don't see a reason, and he was a full-time guy when he was healthy, and I just don't see like why Josh Downs couldn't do that as well for the Indianapolis Colts. You go further down, like, there's a couple Curtis Samuel, you know, comps in there. Like, maybe Josh Downs just ends up being like the next Curtis Samuel, and I'm talking about him for years until he stops playing and eventually just is too hurt to play and the whole deal. But like, Ladd McConkey's in there. Ladd's a full-time player. You know, Tyreek Hill's another smaller guy that's in there. Obviously, he doesn't have Tyreek Hill's speed, but still, I think there are like enough comps RP wise that would give you caution, and I'm not willing to say like he definitely will be used this way, right? Because we've seen guys like Jaden Reed hasn't been used this way yet. Curtis Samuel, obviously, of course. But guys like Lockett and Ladd McConkey have paved the way. And I think if Downs is even just a little bit bigger than 171 pounds, like at this point, if he's bulked up, I think hopefully he can handle the workload.
Yeah, we'll see, man. And I think I love the idea that you brought up. I don't love it, but I understand the idea that Keenan Allen could potentially reunite here with the Indianapolis Colts if he wants to continue playing as well. And that would truly throw a wrench into all of this, you know? That being said, it really comes down to, okay, what's up with Alec Pierce, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ankle surgery has kind of sort of been like swept under the rug. But that's a big deal, especially for a guy who gets vertical, right? So if he's not healthy, Josh Downs has to play every single down. But then who is going to open up the field for him a little bit? That being said, too, okay, Daniel Jones. We don't know what the situation is with Daniel Jones either. Can you imagine if it's Josh Downs and Anthony Richardson out there? That's your combo.
Oh, also, is it even going to be Anthony Richardson? Is it going to be Riley Leonard? I thought Riley Leonard acquitted himself well for a day three rookie last year.
I totally did. Yes.
I don't think the Colts want Anthony Richardson on that roster. I just don't think they've been able to unload him, you know,
you're probably right.
Which is crazy how quickly they were just like
first round pick. Here we go.
fourth overall pick, like a guy we all knew needed some development and some time. Stupid. And they're just like, yeah, we don't want to. We're done with that. We got eight games or whatever out of Daniel Jones that were awesome. And it's definitely a risk. I get why they're clinging tightly to those eight games where they were a historically efficient offense, but it's a small sample and we'll see if it works out for them. But yeah, I think also just to that point too, like this, maybe I'm wrong about this, but sometimes when you see like an offense running, it just like all cylinders are firing, the efficiency is fully there, like that's when you really get those Alec Pierce types cooking, you know, the vertical volatile X receivers, even if his game has really grown as we've detailed on the show. But it's sometimes when the offense goes into a little bit of chaos or whatever, that's when kind of the layup receiver needs to take a step forward. So hopefully Josh Downs can help provide those layups and be like a quick separator for this team, because I do think Daniel Jones kind of needs that outlet at times. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what Daniel Jones look like. I mean, it's a lot of questions around the Indianapolis Colts. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I'm fearful. I'm fearful for this team. There's just too many question marks, too many injuries, and them getting rid of Michael Pittman. I mean, I guess I kind of get it, but like I said, I was not a fan of that move. He's your milk. He's your you know, meat and potatoes guy. And
yeah,
I don't know, man. It feels like to me that Indianapolis is absolutely playing with fire. I think they're going to get burned this year. We'll find out. We'll find out.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Okay, when you take a look at JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, I mean, obviously, incredible season. He was going crazy. And big shout out to you, man, because, again, JSN was your guy. Like, you were like, okay, I'm all in on JSN. Meanwhile, I think the football community at large liked JSN, but wasn't sure about JSN. As a matter of fact, that conversation we just had about Josh Downs, we had the exact same damn conversation about Jackson Smith and Jigba. They move around a lot of pieces, and he enters into an every down role and has to play outside quite a bit. And shoot, man, he absolutely crushed it. Takeaways here on JSN.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really fair point. And one of the reasons, like, I don't want to, it seems crazy to limit, like, oh, well, yeah, Josh Downs has only been a slotter, you know, Jaden Reed, these guys, they've only been slot receivers. So that doesn't really translate to outside. We just watched JSN have that season. And part of the reason, yeah, I mean, I wrote this in the profile, forgive me for, you know, reminding everybody that JSN at last year's Super Bowl was my bold prediction to lead the NFL in receiving yards. I get so much shit wrong. I'm going to remind you at least that I got that one completely accurate as a bold prediction. Although, as I always say, bold predictions, that's the rule. Remember, if you get it wrong, that was a bold prediction.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
But it was just a bold prediction. But if you get it right, you get the victory lap. But anyways, yes, I get a lot of stuff wrong, but I did get that one right. And one of the reasons I was very confident in JSN last year was that I did feel that because he has been a strong man coverage beater in reception perception, and even honestly put in the box score in the second half of his rookie season against man coverage, he had like 4.56 yards per route in the second half of the season against man coverage. I thought that was enough to take the movement skills that you need and be able to play on the perimeter, even though he was a guy that was a true slot only player. In college, his second season, he was almost all from the slot as well when he was between DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. But, you know, nevertheless, like I you look at the numbers from that season. Mm-hmm. He was more used in the slot and more off ball in his second season in the NFL. 78% sampled snaps in the slot, 75% off ball rate. And that like completely flipped. Here in his third season in the NFL, he lined up outside on 73% of his sample snaps. He was on the line of scrimmage for 66%. And that, I think, has to be like where we start praising JSN, is because, yeah, he did this all as not completely, but a ton of work as a vertical X receiver, which is a just a complete and direct flip of his role from the first few years in the NFL, even when he was an awesome prospect out of Ohio State, where he took 83% of his sample snaps in the slot.
He improved across the board. Again, 78% success rate versus man, 82% versus zone. And these are improvements from 2024, where he went from 75% to 78%, 79% to 80, about 83% versus zone. So jumps there, but the big, big, massive jumps, as you were mentioning, Matt, huge jump on the nine route. 45% success rate on nines in 2024, 63% success rate in 2025. Bro, that's insane. That's crazy. I mean, to see a nearly 20% increase on the nine route, which in my opinion is, if you don't got it, you don't got it, man. But 45% is well below average. And then he goes to 63%, which is well above average. What an incredible improvement going long for JSN in 2025. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And again, just can't be said enough that he did all that while playing more outside on ball. Like, it's not as if, oh, he's getting those like run up the seam in the slot. No, this guy was stacking, you know, press man coverage on the outside. And that, I mean, yeah, the nine route was super impressive. He was just crushing people on posts and deep in breakers all season long as well. Just an incredible, incredible season from Jaxon Smith-Njigba. 90th percentile, cleared that number against both man and press coverage. It's just crazy like how good he was. 80% success rate versus press, career best, obviously, despite transitioning to the outside. I think you saw that a ton when he was running those go routes, and he would make big catches along the sideline as well. So really did it in every way that you want from a top receiver. I thought, you know, you bring up the nine route, to me, the area where he was just like uncoverable and probably the best receiver in the NFL from a route running perspective, was just in that intermediate area. Digs and out routes, like those breaking 90 degree routes. Dig routes were 19.9% of his sampled routes, 7.9% for the out route. Success rates, 86% on the dig, 88.2% on the out route, both just absurdly high. And like, if you guys want to like watch JSN, the one thing I'd say to watch is just his head when he's running routes. Like, he's always able to sell the out before he whips back in. I mean, just an incredible receiver in that way. Like, the technique and the deception of his route running, he's the best liar in the NFL as a route runner, is what I've been kind of saying for him. So just all three levels of the route tree, the nine route for sure, obviously was really, really good at short and intermediate and underneath, but that 90 degree breaking routes on the outs and the digs, that's where I thought he was just special last year. And Sam Darnold, your boy, as an oligarch, you should talk about this as well. He was so good at the throwing those routes, both the in breakers, out breakers. He was ripping them off play action in the straight drop back game as well. So yeah, I thought that JSN had a really special season in that regard. That was probably the area where he was the best receiver in the NFL last year. Well, he's best receiver in the NFL last year, period. Wins his offensive rookie of the year, the whole deal, or offensive player of the year. I messed it up just like the NFL did when they gave him the trophy. But yeah, he was unbelievable in that regard. And yeah, especially the deception of his route running was really special.
As Matt mentioned, he was an 80% slot player in 2024, and then he was an 80% outside player in 2025. It cannot be stated enough how much Jaxon Smith-Njigba must have known how much his role was going to change and how much he worked on that, because his X receiver outside route running in 2024 was not good. Right? You're talking about a 45% success rate on the nine route. That's, again, well below league average. When we're talking about the curl route, right? So you're going to sell vertical and come rip it right back to the quarterback. Okay. 69% success rate on the curl route, right? This are, these are two routes that obviously are incredible staples in an outside X receiver's role. Okay. Now that's in 2024. Then you flip it to 2025 and he's again, just 64% success rate on the nine route, incredibly productive, 81% success rate on the curl route. You could not stop this guy. So again, I would just say, yeah, his role changed. Yes, he got a lot of targets. But to me, I think what really stands out is I think JSN knew his role was going to change and he spent the offseason really working on improving those areas of his game. And man, he hit it out the park, man. That was, it really is incredible. Like, for to be a primarily inside receiver, to go primarily outside and then work on your X receiver route tree, man, JSN crushed it. And yeah, it's an incredibly impressive 2025 season he put on tape.
Totally. I mean, I think we could say, and honestly, I was kind of saying this at the beginning of last year, because I think it was very obvious. I think he graduated to the elite level last season. Yeah. I think if you look at his comparisons in the top, his top four comparisons in his 2024 season last year. His second season in the NFL. The comparisons are Chris Godwin, Josh Downs, funny enough, Keenan Allen, okay, and Anthony Miller. People probably have forgotten about Anthony Miller.
Oh, man.
If that guy could have gotten out of his own way, he could have been a really, really good NFL player. Was very much in that, like, Doug Baldwin type of mold. Anthony Miller, former Bears receiver. I think he's actually still kicking around the NFL. But, yeah, he screwed himself in Chicago. Another story for another time. But, anyways, those were his top four comps after his second season, Jackson Smith Ojigba. Top four comps after his after his third season, the season we just watched, Tyreek Hill 2022, two Justin Jefferson seasons,
wow,
and 2019 Devontae Adams. So, like, I think that's good pretty Lord. All right. That's pretty elite stuff that JSN good just Lord. Put up. Obviously, won Offensive Player of the Year, won the Super Bowl, led the league in receiving yards, reception perception certainly backs up that he made that jump to that elite. Truly, truly elite level. He did avoid the all green route chart curse as well by checking in under the NFL average on one route, the flat route. So we avoided that.
Perfect.
We avoided the Antonio Good. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Deontay Johnson all green route chart curse.
Good.
There for JSN. So I'm being facetious, but yeah, pretty strong case. He was the best receiver in the NFL last year, and I actually think that his route running style, it's very unique. Sam Darnold had a quote last year where he talked about, like, he runs routes as if he's like on skates because he's just so smooth. But I think there are some similarities to, like, Justin Jefferson in how he moves and uncovers. Jefferson's a little bit more fluid and loose, whereas I think JSN is a little more smooth. And yeah, I love that. Like, he's just running routes like he's on skates. That's how he's able to be so good in that dig and out combination area. But ultimately, I do think they're kind of similar. So obviously, we know that Justin Jefferson just showed us last year, nobody's quarterback proof, right? Nobody is environment proof, although he's still at 1,000 yards in a pretty horrific situation. But that's really the only question for JSN from, like, a production standpoint, is just the environment and the situation. Clint Kubiak obviously moving on, Brian Fleury coming in here unproven as a play caller, of course, but I think they'll keep the same kind of, I think they're going to keep the offense very, very, very similar. You know, it's another 49ers offshoot situation. So usage and everything, I think, will be fine and pretty similar for JSN. I don't think that, like, I think Rashid Shaheed and Cooper Kupp and my guy Torrey Horton will all be, like, supporting actors, and they're still going to try to throw the football to JSN like 30% of the time. But we'll obviously see if the efficiency can keep up with a new play caller.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's not.
Okay.
I don't believe Brian Fleury at all. I mean, he's been on the offensive side, and I know he was the offensive side, but, like, in terms of coaching, he's been on the offensive side of the football for five or six years. You know, there's just, I'm sorry, that's just not enough time on task for the NFL. And again, I know the playbook's going to be almost identical. I don't think that matters. You know, it's not the book, it's the caller, right?
Yeah.
So, and we've seen that time and time again. I mean, shoot, go back to New Orleans, right? Sean Payton versus Pete Carmichael. It's the exact same playbook.
True.
It's exactly, but the offense looked horrible under Carmichael, right? So I don't know. I don't believe in it.
I'm not defending Pete Carmichael, but you know, Drew Brees versus Derek Carr.
Correct. Correct. Also correct. I think that's super fair. I think we've seen it time and time again. It's not the book, it's the collar, right? Yeah. So the bones of the playbook is obviously great. You know, it's the Shanahan system. It's going to be play action, a lot of dig routes, and you're going to rip them, you know, in the intermediate area of the field. Cool. I'm down with that. But sequencing matters, you know, play calling, getting your guys prepared week in and week out, that matters a lot. So I don't know, man. I think the Seahawks will definitely see a downturn in offensive efficiency. It doesn't mean that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to be a worse player. Just means that from an efficiency standpoint, probably won't be. I mean, one of the most efficient players in the NFL period last year. I think we could fairly say that that number will probably come down.
Right. Well, number one, I see what you're doing here. You're already setting up Brian Flores to be the scapegoat when Sam Darnold regresses. As an oligarch, I get it. You've got to have a scapegoat. Totally understand. I think his background is really interesting, Brian Flores. You mentioned he's like a former quarterback. Yep. He played quarterback in high school. I believe he played a quarterback in college as well. He's been kind of everywhere. I mean, he's at like a special teams background, and he's been a defensive coach. It's Sacred Heart. He was actually in the Dolphins front office as the director of football research.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been with San Francisco, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but on San Francisco, yes, he was defensive quality control coach for 1 year, but then offensive quality control coach, tight ends, run game coordinator. George Kittle speaks highly of him. That doesn't mean that he's going to be a great OC or anything, but I think it's enough of a background to bet on him as a last-ditch effort play caller too, by the way. It's not like you had a choice of options because Clint Kubiak left so late because he was Super Bowl winner. Like that's the way it goes. But I think keeping the terminology will be the same. But even regardless, man, look, if JSN regresses next year from an efficiency standpoint, that's kind of how it goes, bro. Like he had 3.68 yards per route. He was targeted on 33.5% of his routes. Yeah, that's like that's probably coming down. That's probably coming down because that is the way it goes. I mean, shoot, if you just look since 2015, if you're looking at individual wide receiver seasons, I mean, that's up there. That yards per route run, 3.68, that's up there as third best since 2015. Now some players have managed to do it. I mean, if you're looking at the top five, it's JSN at three.
Puka?
Puka twice and Tyreek Hill twice. So it can be done. You can repeat it, but it is obviously pretty unlikely. So we will see what happens. It's the right system, but it is a different play caller, whereas obviously Tyreek Hill and those guys, they have the same play caller. Okay, so I mentioned Tyreek Hill and Puka Nacua. If you're looking at targets per route run, those are 1, 2, 3, and then JSN is 5 since 2015. Can you guess who the fourth player is? You'll never guess it. Targets per route run. He didn't play 16 games, only played 9 games. I said it since 2015. Spoiler alert, it's on the earlier side, if not.
Oh.
So.
I got nothing here. Chris Godwin?
Alshon Jeffrey. 2015 Bears.
Hell yeah, dude.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Bro, I was such a big Alshon Jeffrey fan, dude. Holy hell.
He pops in a lot of the comps every now and again for guys who like don't separate but are pretty good players. So, yeah, there you go.
Correct. I believe Alshon Jeffrey has a 200-yard game in his book, if I'm not mistaken, dude. He went crazy this one game. I can't even remember what it was. I'm pretty sure he has a 200-yard game in the book, though.
Alshon Jeffrey has like a massive season at one point in his career. I believe, it was his second season in the NFL, 2013, 1,421 yards and 7 touchdowns. And then the next year he had 85 catches, 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, did Alshon Jeffrey. So yeah, with the Bears early on in his career, he was
good. He's got two 200-yard games in the book. What? Wow. This guy's awesome, dude.
Dude,
both of them in 2013. Dude, he had two separate 200-yard games in 2013, dude. What the hell? That's incredible. Yeah, he had 250. He had 249 receiving yards against Minnesota and then 218 receiving yards against New Orleans, man. Wow, that is so cool. That's crazy. I knew he had – this was under Mark Trestman?
I was just going to say Mark Trestman. Yeah, that was the guy at that point. Just cooking.
Shout out
with
Jay Cutler, dude.
13, 14. Yeah, of course, Jay Cutler. That was a little bit of a part of it, too.
Yeah, that is crazy. You know how Chicago's never had a 4,000-yard passer?
Mm-hmm.
And
I've heard.
Yes, many times you have heard. In that particular year, though, they did throw for 4,200 yards. It just happened to be that Cutler got hurt. Josh McCown had to come in relief, and he had nearly 2,000 yards. But shoot, they did as a composite have 4,200 passing yards that year. Man, they could have broke that curse there. That's crazy.
They could have. Yeah, it's just but that's the thing with curses, man. You can't predict them. just like thankfully to bring it all back around, the all green route chart curse. JSN was able to avoid it by running
beautiful
one lovely flat route a little worse than he could have. You know, thank God for that. That is the funny thing about the all green route chart thing, which you know, it's like it means truly means nothing.
Other than nothing like, at cool all.
But it's just like it's not an like I remember when guys like I mean if as prospects and look I love both these guys as prospects Roman Dunze, Travis Hunter, people are like, well yeah, but he had an all green route chart. It's like yeah, it truly means nothing. Like it's just like he runs. I would have liked him the exact same if he ran one route worse and went from green to yellow or all the way down to red. Who cares? Doesn't matter. So obviously like I wouldn't be like, yeah, JSN almost had one of the best seasons we've ever seen, but unfortunately had one flat route. So luckily he avoids the curse of the all green route chart, and the Bears are still cursed from a 4,000 yard passer until this year when Caleb Williams throws for 4,500 yards and everybody goes crazy in that offense.
So, I love it.
Fingers crossed.
That's what I'm rooting for. I want to see Romo Dunze with 1,300. Let's go.
That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing. Anyways, there you go. Great show. Great to get back on the mic with you, pal, and chop it up.
Yeah, good to be back. I miss bread and fruit that tastes like fruit, but it is good to be back talking ball with you, my friend.
There you go. Perfect. We will be back on our regular scheduled programming from this moment moving forward, barring injuries, of course. But we'll figure it out, man. We're back. We are back. The boys are back, and it's a good time to be back because it's July 1st. Tons of stuff on the website right now. We got quarterback profiles. We got wide receiver profiles. Running back profiles will be hitting the site very, very soon. If you want to know about all the rookies from last year, that's going to be hitting the site in droves here in regards to the rookie running back. So, of course, we will have those reports as well. And shoot, by the way, I know we're starting to slowly get into fantasy draft season, man. I'm strongly encouraging you guys to read some of these profiles, rookie profiles, on the running backs and on the wide receivers. If you want to get an edge in fantasy, this is, again, kind of sort of where you can do it because the market has no idea how to price these rookies, and I tell you what, the profile write-ups on both the running backs and the wide receivers is about as in-depth as you're going to get. So go check it out, receptionperception.com. If you could like and subscribe to the podcast as well, it would be very, very good. And as Matt mentioned at the very beginning of the show, new mailbag episode has released on the YouTube side. Go check him out there. All right, man, we got to go. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Kill. Remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. All right, peace.